I was thinking tonight about my spiritual hooks. Oftentimes when I'm studying alone, I'll hang my spiritual thought for the night on the Bible, or I'll hang it on faith, or I'll hang it on the Spirit, just kind of the escape. Well, it's of the Spirit will do it. Kind of takes me out of the equation. But I need all three. I need the Word of God, I need faith to apprehend it, and I need the Holy Ghost to apply it and to be living and active. And so I really kick sometimes about those other two, but by God's grace, that's what's going to bring me to full maturity in Christ. I've got a long ways to go before the Lord takes us home, unless he comes tonight. And I want to mature every day, every hour. Your mothers and your dads, I'm sure you want your sons and daughters to grow up and not lack any good thing. And I know God thinks that about me. I recently heard a professor said that the end is just as important as the beginning. The end of something is just as important as the beginning, because the end is in the beginning. And so I've begun to be able to think that all that I do, I have to apply towards an end. I'm moving towards a purpose. I have to have a goal. I want to accomplish something, as opposed to just being in a passive heart attitude of receiving and being transformed at times. But let's look at a purpose, a soul, a single purpose in Ezekiel, I think. The scriptures reveal. It's kind of in the middle, but it has to do with the beginning and the end as well. Ezekiel, the first chapter. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Wonderful reading, the prophet Ezekiel. Verse 25. Let's look at some glory. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it. From the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. And as the appearance of the bow that was in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Here we have a tremendous vision. We talk about what the Old Testament saints were able to see and know. It is Christ on his throne of judgment in glory. And whether he understood the time and the manner of those judgments and when it would happen is not disclosed until the book of Revelation. But there was now a purpose revealed. I don't think Ezekiel would see it and know it to miss it and actually have it fulfilled in his life. And so, seeing that and believing the scriptures, I have a vision, I have a purpose that I can see Christ in his full glory on his throne. And now I say, well, I know he wants to be working me a maturity, a judgment, a discernment, a spirituality to be able to agree with him and all that goes on and all that partakes, all that happens from that throne. So I understand and believe the vision, the importance of properly applying what I know and believe. And here's what I'm going to sell to you tonight. Here's my purpose of the scriptures. You're to buy it and not sell it, but I'm going to sell it to you by faith. My purpose is for you to understand and to believe the importance of properly applying the scriptures by understanding, applying, and becoming. And all that we do in praying with understanding, in popping open those seals, as it were, and be able to see and understand that judgment of God is now due. Mankind has been rebelling and has been storing up a bank account of judgment that he's worthy of, the entire earth, mankind. And to say, oh, God is just so harsh, so uncompassionate. We can understand by the scriptures what is happening there and why, and not shrink from it, but agree with it. And so if we find ourselves being oversensitive, we can search ourselves. Is that flesh or is that spirit? What is it? I want to agree and say, well, that's God's purpose, and here's what he's doing, and here is why. And that takes a great deal of maturity, I think. And that transforming is taking place, first, by understanding the scriptures. In Hebrews 4, the sword of the Spirit, we're all very familiar. But as I grow, the scriptures seem to apply themselves deeper and richer, more practical. Scriptures have meaning. To understand the scriptures and apply them. 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, as I get older, words like piercing and sharp and marrow, after seeing my dad have a stainless steel hip bone put in, you know, just things are a little bit more sensitive these days. It doesn't take much to correct, you know, as a person who's seeking God's will, as it does a third grader, you know, on the bus or what have you. God's words are sharp, and they're taken to heart readily, and they're applied rather quickly. And so to understand, of course, it's heady, but it begins to search in the motivations of the heart. What's behind it? The attitudes of the heart. Sometimes all you can do is just bite your tongue, bite your lip, maybe literally, I don't know, but and judge your attitude. And it's like, that should be, that. What that person said, which might come later, might trickle down through your mind and into your heart later. I have said, I should have been able to understand, to hear what they said. I should have been able to discern that it wasn't a wisecrack, but it was something of the heart and in the spirit. And so growing trained and a trained ear and a mind able to hear that, I think it's a great gift. It's a great purpose we should be pursuing. I know that that counsel, that discernment is upon that throne. That's part of that glory. So understanding how we can apply and be renewed by truth, by the scriptures in every area of life. I'm going to use a Catholic terminology. Please keep your guards down. Catholics say we are in community, right? As a body of Christ, we share collectively. We're in community together as a body of Christ, and Jesus is our head. Well, that's not all bad, because we share faith and pray and admonish one another. Sometimes the sand between the ocean and the coast here gets pretty broad. I know that. And the line is pretty sharp. But other times we really want to receive what somebody has to offer. And I'm the number one guy, so I know what it's like. Say, I can't receive from him or her. But we are the body of Christ functioning together for a collective maturity, a church that can discern. When the Kansas City Saints arrive, Nebraska Saints arrive, I kind of want to shine. I want to say Christ is doing a work in Denver. He's in the midst of the assembly. And that takes work. That takes prayer, spiritual yieldedness, and humility. So every thought and every word and every deed can then be yielded to Christ. But you know as well as I do, the pill is reality of life. It's like a rasp Monday morning. It's waiting. The axe is there. The grind is there. Let's turn to Isaiah, the master of such a craft. Wondering of times if it doesn't rub off on me. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. There is a competing counsel and a power out there for our attention, for our affection, for our ideas, and for our doctrine. And you can say, well, it's just me, it's just the Spirit, it's just the Spirit of the world. Something so glorious as this, the glory of Christ and the Word of God, it could not but be challenged and met equally with a divisive enemy. And so it's out and about there, competing counsel. Every time you might have a good idea, a good spiritual purpose and focus, a good target. Sure enough, the shadows are right there. And I know you've experienced that just as I have. Well, how can I be spiritually mature enough to discern that and to judge that and to withstand that in faith, to understand the scriptures and apply them correctly? I want to read something Norton gave us in Sunday school class this morning. I got it from off the web. It's out there. Common theology today. My goodness, so much is happening to Israel. Has God forsaken Israel? Well, of the great mass of the Jews, I have no hope for them. They're children of the devil. The Jews, they're under God's curse. Is that scriptural? I mean, is that the enemy really oppressing them now? Getting a whole people, an attitude to destroy the Jew, just collectively, wholesale. You have to be able to understand the scripture and say, wait a minute. Now, under the law, way back then, people who would build idols were under a curse. But God's people, there's a promise that cannot be broken. God's promise of blessing will be fulfilled. And so, how important it is to be able to discern and properly apply. To apply the scriptures. We understand them. We have them. Now what do we do? It's hearty counsel to be able to yield to the cutting of the sword, to be built up in the Spirit and not in the flesh, be edified in the Spirit. It's a good thing. And so now we have to properly apply. The Old Testament accusation that Jesus laid at the Pharisees' feet was what? They adhered to the law in a self-righteousness by doing. But their heart and their faith was not in it. It was not behind it. Let's turn to Hosea, the book of Hosea, right after Daniel. Try to stay on track here. We're talking about the importance of the Word of God, understanding it properly, and then applying it properly. Now I'm going to draw an analogy here of God's covenant with Israel is a covenant with a wife or a covenant with a husband. Hosea 6, verse 6. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. But they, like men, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me. Well, that's Jehovah in covenant with Israel saying, well, you just did things. You do. Self-righteousness without mercy and judgment and the great knowledge of God to know and to enjoy God forever. They had broken that. And that is biblical language. Remember Jehovah, like he divorced Israel. He put Israel away as an unfaithful wife. Now this is postscript. This is up here in ghost writing from I think I'm a DWM. I'm a divorced white male. So this is by God's grace. Husbands and wives, would you not think of continually nurturing and growing and respecting your spouse individually and as a couple? For your whole life long? Could you not ever imagine sharing with each other, progressing together through all the stages of life, sharing with each other? Now that's my postscript about, we'll consider how Israel failed and what they went after and grabbed as opposed to enjoying God, being in communion with God, growing. Every stage of life is different. It really is a testimony when you see older couples that have come up to their 50-year wedding anniversary or better, you know, as youth and then as parents, and then as everybody's gone from the nest, as just maturing. It's a marvelous testimony. And it's in Israel as well. And it's in us as a covenant with God through redemption in Christ. By grace, God purchased us, redeemed us. Now, in covenant theology, they see that as the sole purpose for Scripture. The covenant of grace. This is the everlasting covenant. God redeemed us. We've been brought into covenant through Christ. And to interpret, my analogy is to interpret the Bible and everything in the Bible, the soul of covenant of grace. For Israel, Israel fell, and now the church has replaced Israel. Individuals, nations, the covenant of grace. The analogy, there's so much more to Scripture. Consider the dispensations. It explains God's unfolding purpose all through the Bible. Just as all through life, different stages of life, you can't stop growing. You can't stop being challenged. You can't stop appropriating and growing more and more and more, being transformed. Remember Brother Phil's Friday night message, I am the Lord and I change not. God does not change, but He changes us from within and from without. And the dispensations to approach the Scriptures with a right understanding and a right application, I begin to say, oh, that's where Israel is and what's happening to Israel. That's where the church is. That's how Revelation, the purposes of the judgments, that's what's happening. God is has Israel in the wings, as it were, and He's dealing with the nations. He's going to judge and get out of the way and then bring in a glorious kingdom. You know, the end result is glory for Israel. And so it helps understand God's purpose. I remember Brother Freestone's instructions in Romans. He said, you cannot compartmentalize your life. Shut this little bit off for God and this little bit for the world and this little bit for your family and for your spouse. Because God has all of us. I think that's what it's going to take to do that full work. He's going to be manifested in all those relationships. He's got to be the head of give wisdom for work. When you're dealing with the world, can't just separate anymore in the mind or in the heart. It's rather dealing in love and wisdom and in understanding and knowledge. I think it's a great gift to be able to be out there walking in the Spirit and being a testimony in the world. That's a hard calling. May the Lord help us. College and school, in the workplace, with family that they're violently opposed to the Lord. God give us wisdom and help us. So in our application, consider God's approach. We can, and this is a quote, biblically we can learn and understand the particular way of God administering His rule over the world as He progressively works out His purposes in world history. So God deals with nations as well as you and I. And that sounds biblical, working out God's will that He works in. But now we need, by the Scriptures, the equipping. Oftentimes, I think to myself, what do I do with that? You know, that's a great thought. A person has a lot to offer, but am I supposed to apply it? Am I supposed to go somewhere? Am I supposed to do something or change my thoughts? Well, Scripture equips us what to do with it, how to apply it, how it can be in the faith. So the progressive unfolding is an opportunity. It's a responsibility to understand the judgments of God. Can I discern, like the Lord on a throne, can I discern those scales of balance properly and mete out a judgment or judge myself in balance? Sometimes we judge ourselves and let everybody else off the hook. And the Lord's dealing with us graciously. And those scales should counterbalance. and apply his purposes. Of self and others, of course. Let's turn to Romans 16. That was kind of long-winded. The great secret is out. This, I wonder if this will be on the email tomorrow or on the BlackBerry wire. I don't know, but it's out. It's true. 16 and verse 25. Let's back up to 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now, to him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, is made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Wow, it's out, you know, the whole world's going to go buy a Bible and read and pray for Paul's gospel to be revealed to them. Well, here it is. It's available. We have so much. Do you realize it's been 4,000 years, 6,000 years in God's planning and making to reveal this in the progressive unfolding of his highest purpose for us, mankind, the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that very glory according to what Paul was privy to see and know and record for us. We just get numb to it after a while, and we need to peel back some of the layers, maybe the callousness. But after Paul testified, you know, the Lord himself, Jesus spoke to him from heaven. Well done, Paul, well done. Now go to Rome and do the same thing and testify to the folks at Rome. It's not irreverent. It almost was in just like a friend-to-friend conversation. Or, you know, Brother Doug call you on the phone or something. You answer the phone like it's your mom, your brother. Brother Doug, you kind of ears pick up. But if the Lord was to call, just like that, Paul, just go do this and go do that. Commonplace, but once again, it's the revealed word of God. Praise God. Don't let it ever grow old. Don't let it ever gather dust. It is the will, revealed will of Jesus. So it's knowable. It's knowing to me. I hang that on that faith hook, because there it is. All I have to do is believe it and say, Lord, by your Spirit, transform me. Work that in me. That is what I want, the character and the likeness of Christ. The last point to know and to apply is to become. It's to become actually like Christ. Brother Bruce, every time I read 2 Corinthians now, I think of his prayer he prayed one anointed Sunday morning. He said, transform from glory to glory. You might remember that prayer. Lord, transform us, looking unto Christ from glory to glory. And that's what he's doing, just a little layer on layer. But that's what I am becoming, more Christ-like. Subdued a little bit over here, maybe need a little bit of encouragement, strength over here, but I'm becoming balanced, and I know we are. The nature of Christ, the attitudes in the heart, it should be of love and truth and wisdom. The doctrine should be sound and mature, godlike. So a lot of work there. I think of pixels in my being dragged into the 20th century. I really originally thought of a painting like Van Gogh, you know, how he just does dots. And far away, it looks like a picture, but you get up close and it's just thousands of little dots on the tip of the brush. But now I have to use the example of pixels like on a computer or TV. A million little dots collectively, you know, and it's all, you know, a little Christ-like nature here and there 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 and it goes. And before you know it, we're in that glowing glory of Christ. We're just like made like unto him. So work by the Spirit, but we have to ask. We have to ask, Lord, what are you doing? What was that for? What am I missing? I feel like I'm missing something. I'm lacking something. I need something more than the Bible and church and prayer, and Spirit and faith. What am I lacking? The hooks, we hang them for a balance on all three, faith and the Spirit and the Bible. Be transformed. in Revelation to know and to apply we are becoming. Now this is I'm turning to Exodus 33, the great heads of the dispensation, Moses and Paul. And I think it was a God-given desire of spirit, kind of like it comes with the desire and the proper motivation. Exodus 33:18. I just see Moses kind of being separated from 6 million people off in the sands here in this cave. He said, God, I can't do anything without you. And verse 18, he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Turn over to chapter 34, verse 5 and 6. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Such a revelation was under the law. The same God who thundered and fired and smoked on Sinai for the whole nation to see and say, I'm not going near it, keep us away from it, came personally and passed before Moses and revealed his name and his character. Gracious and goodness. Same vision for us. And again, the Apostle Paul. And I have seasoned in my mature outlook on the Apostle Paul. Heard so much about him when I first came into these circles. Was caught up with Paul. Wow, he saw and knew so much. But did not God balance that out with his experiences in the flesh and his humility and his beatings and just his, I think it equated with his life's experience. So the revelation of glory equaled his calling and his ministry and his apostleship. And so he labored and we glean the fruits of that labor. It's just, it is marvelously gracious. Not that he'll have a higher place than you. He lived and died to give you this truth, in essence, how I receive it, by God's grace. And so we serve one another and further each other in the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 4. How he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me to be. Praise the Lord, saints. They saw so much. They desired so much. Is our God so little that he can't do it? But he has promised and revealed to us. I believe he can. And it won't be, it'll be outside of our own gifts and personality. And it will be in the very nature of Christ, which is a gift, a deposit, a glory. Praise God. All praise to God. Thank you, saints, for listening.
Appreciated that lesson. And so important for us to keep God's end, purpose in mind. When we're in the transforming process, we need to remember the end purpose. Or sometimes that process overwhelms us, doesn't it? Sometimes we lose sight of the work, and we lose sight of God working. But if we'll remember these truths that Kyle emphasized tonight, they'll be an encouragement to us to know that sometimes the working is not always pleasant. Sometimes it just plain hurts. Sometimes it's inconvenient. But when we understand, but this is the purpose of God, then we can rejoice. Even in the midst of the pain sometimes, we can rejoice of the faithfulness of God to work his will in us. still a little early this evening. Let's just come and spend some time in the presence of the Lord and seeking for wisdom and direction and strength for this coming week. We'll consider ourselves dismissed.